Thank you guys for being here today. I think Mark told them I was going to be here today, and that's why they emptied the church out. I don't get up here very often. I'm used down here. But I probably do better over there. I get nervous up here. I do. I get scared because I know I'm standing on holy ground up here. And I thank Dean for last week. I think I might have told him. If I didn't, if you wasn't here, he read Matthew chapter 1. Every word in that, the names, the DNAs, it took me 7 years to read that. And he read the 42. Anyhow, he read it, and I thank God for it. And I thank God. The Apostle Paul said, I thank my God for every one of you, because God has from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification, spirit, and belief of the truth. And I do thank God. And I want to pray, because if I don't pray now, I'll forget it. And that's a great sin. Amen. Lord, our great God and Father, you bid us to come boldly to the throne of grace. And Lord, we hesitate, but if we look into the throne of grace, we have a high priest there. It's Jesus Christ, and who has saved us and called us with holy calling. Oh God, be with me today as I try to speak the things of God that I want to glorify your Son. It's in his precious name I pray. Amen. You know what? One of the hardest things I've found in my Christian life is to pray. And if it's not so hard, I should be doing more of it. And I talked to a fellow one time, said I pray all the time. I don't even know if he ever prayed. Some of our prayers don't go over our heads. But when we pray, the Spirit of God makes intercession for us with groaning that cannot be uttered. Now, that's a Spirit-filled prayer. It's going to be answered because Christ is praying for us. And he prays for us every day. And I thank God for everyone here and for ones that's not here. And even for my school teacher, I got her here too. I'm here by special request. Two ladies in the church asked me to write a book. Two down to chiropractor, right? It was, who was it? Jackie and Lynn. Yeah, they said they'd write a book. I said, I can't write a book. I have trouble reading a book, let alone writing a book. Well, leave us something for 88 years here. So I said, I will try to put 88 years into 30 minutes here. But if you notice, I took my coat off before I come up here. And Dennis knows why I took that coat off. Back in the 70s, if a man got in your pulpit and took his coat off, you better had your lunch. You're not going home, brother. Especially you loosen a necktie up. That kind of guy scared me to death. They'd get them speakers on, you know, when he'd take that coat off. Oh. And then he'd loosen that necktie. He's trying to breathe, I know, because he's one out of air. Anyhow, I thought I would do a message. And I would entitle the message, The Long Walk Home. The reason I chose that message is because I mentioned that one day over to rest home where my wife's at. And the reception said, Ed, how you doing? I said, well, I'm walking through the valley of the shadow of death. And I thought she had a heart attack. She said, what? The valley of death? I said, yeah. Was you at the cemetery? I said, not yet, but I'm on the way there. And she was confused. She was more confused when I got done talking to her. I told her she's going there too, but she's behind me. I don't know if she is or not. But I wanted to do a... Today, I'm going to do a lesson, and it's going to be on God's providence. You know, if the Bible said, he that speaks of himself seeks his own glory, and I pray to God I don't seek my own glory, but I want to glorify God, who is my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But I thought I would talk about three things. You know, a preacher, and do something for me. Don't try to follow me, because I'll leave you back there somewhere. And if you follow the preacher, the time you get there, he's gone. So don't try to follow. Just try to listen to what they say. And if you have any questions, ask them after it's done with. And they'll tell you what it's about. Anyhow, I'm going to talk about God's decree. And actually, I had to call my school teacher up to be sure how to spell the word, for I looked it up in the Young's Concordant and Webster's Dictionary and a few commentaries. God's decree. And actually, I knew God's decree 40 years before I became a Christian. So in simple words, I'll tell you what God's decree is. It's when I worked at GM back in the 50s, there's a great big sign on the wall. And you know what the sign said? Plan your work. And when you walked inside, it said, work your plan. And when I started to read the Bible, I said, this is it. This is God's plan here. He planned his work. That's why you're here today. And then he worked his plan out. He definitely worked it out. He planned his work. And when I read the Concordance, Young's and Webster, they all said the same thing, but they didn't say it the way I did. They said, God's decree is a series of steps that leads to a change of action. And that's what it means. I heard it from Amy while I heard some of your people too. And back there that likes that Philippians verse. It's God that works in you to will and do of his good pleasure. Paul could say that because he knew he believed and he was confident God was able to keep him. But anyhow, God's decree is to plan your work. And he did plan his work. Then he worked his plan. And you wasn't there when he planned. You was on his mind, though, but you wasn't there. But you're here. And I'll ask you today, why are you here? That's what we asked him in jail every time. Ray, why are you down here? A few weeks ago, what, we have seven or sometimes three. But we always say, why are you here? And Ramy says, you're here because God put you here. He didn't put you in jail, but he brought you down here. And then when we're done, there were seven of them. I said, there's one person that God brought down here. And that, what, you know what that makes them do? Is it me? Is it me? They have to think. So I want you to think today. Why are you here? It's here to glorify God. You're here because you love him. You're here because your parents brought you. But that's why you're here today. But you're here because of God's decree, his providence, and his promises. So there's three things I would talk about today. God's decree, his providence, and also his promises. But I'm not going to have you turn a bunch of scripture, but I would have you look at one scripture. In the book of Job, chapter 22 and 23. I'll only hit one verse in 23, but you'll stay in 22. Job 22, look at verse 16, yeah. In 88 years, Job said, "Hast thou marked the old way which wicked men have trodden, which were cut down of old times, whose foundation was overflowed?" That's the judgment God, which said unto God, "Depart from us. What is the Almighty? What can he do for me?" Yet he did good. He filled their hearts with goodness. But the verse I want you to pay attention here is the one I'm today, verse 29:1. It says, acquaint thyself with God. And if you don't know him, I want to introduce you to him. I know him because he's my heavenly Father. But this is what Job said. Acquaint thyself with God, be at peace, and good shall come to you. But Job didn't say to do it any time. I don't know what your Bible says. It says now. Now is the day. Acquaint thyself with God and be at peace, and thereby good shall come to you. I said I didn't want you to change where you're at in chapter 22. But for me to tell you, think about it. If I'm standing here and tell you to acquaint yourself with God, I got to tell you how to get acquainted with God. How are you going to acquaint yourself with God? God is in heaven, you're here. And how are you going to acquaint yourself with God? Now, you're in chapter 22, right? Go to 23. And he's going to tell me how to get acquainted with God. Neither have I gone back from the commandments of his lips. I have did what? Esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary work, food. I feed on God's word. I'm nourished up in the word of God. I esteem the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. That's how you're going to get acquainted with God. Search the scripture. For in them you think you have eternal life, and they are them that testify in me. Even Jesus, the week before he died, he said, this is eternal life, that you might believe whom he has sent. I come to do my Father's work, and I'm going to show you what work he did. I said that God planned his work out. And then he worked out his plan. His decree is a series of steps that led to a change of action in your life. I don't know what your steps was. I knew some of Andy's steps. Bob used to sit there. Her husband sat with her. I know Ramey's son. And I know some of you. It was a series of steps that brought you to a change of action. God led you there. He led you here. So I say, why are you here? Well, I'm going to show you what the steps were before I close today. But it led you to a change of action. God didn't change the action, but he allowed the steps in your life. Think about Joseph. Think about Daniel. Think about Jesus Christ himself. It was a series of steps that hung him on the cross. So it was a series of steps that brought you here. And I'm glad you're here. So I know why you're here. God brought you here. But it leads to a change of action. I'm not going to quit, so I don't leave yet. I'll just go to the Bible and say, get this up here. God planned his work, and then he worked out his plan. God's decree. Proverbs 16, don't turn. No, it's in a book in the Bible. I'm not telling you where it's at. Because if you turn her, you're going to forget what I'm talking about. Proverbs. He said, the preparation of the heart and the answering of the tongue are both from the Lord. And if the tongue runs with the heart, it's because God had put a heart in you to love him. The preparation of the heart and the answering of the tongue is both from the Lord. If you're hunting, that's in Proverbs 16. But remember this, that God has prepared hearts of people, and the answering of the tongue, they all run together. And if the tongue runs with the heart, they're in agreement with God. Preparation of the heart, answering of the tongue, they're both under the Lord. God's decree, this, for of him, through him, to him be the glory. He's first cause. He's main cause. He's the final cause of you being here. I know that. Because if it wasn't for him and of him and to him, I wouldn't even be here neither. But you're here because of him. Because he lives. What does that song say? I can face tomorrow. Because he lives. And again it says he walks with me. There's 88 years. He walked with me. People just say, Ed, you go fishing by yourself. I said, I never go myself. I had a fellow in Arizona a couple years ago. I was visiting my grandkids. It's way up in the rim country, high up in the mountains there. I think it's 8,000 feet up, so there's a trail. So I'm walking this trail. And one day I seen a guy on a bike coming down. He slowed down and looked and kept going. He come back up by again. He seen me sitting there on a log. And he was a security guard that rode the trail. Looked for old people that fell out, I guess. I don't know. And he said, do you need some help? I said, yep, I need help. Wow, he said, what can I do to help you? I said, well, start with. I was 86, I said, and I need help. He said, well, I was worried about you. I said, what was you worried about? He said, I seen you sitting there talking to yourself. That was a mistake. I said, man, I talk to squirrels. I talk to everybody. And I even talk to God. He shook his head. He knew he found somebody crazy up on the trail. Yeah, I even talk to God sometimes. And actually, I had to when I was in Minnesota and come back and trying to get my... I told Annie, this is true. But I lost everything I had in Minnesota. It floated down the Mississippi River. My wallet, my passport, my license, my trip home, it was gone. Floating away. So I told my son, I said, I want to go. I'm going home. I'm going to West Virginia. Or I had the plane ticket. It was in the car. But the wallet and all left me. And he said, how you going to go? I said, airplane. I got the ticket. He said, you're not going nowhere. You can't get out of Minnesota. You ain't got no drive. You ain't got nothing. So I figured it out then. I said, well, I'll tell you what. You call the Greyhound bus station. I said, you got some money? I said, I'll get a ticket to West Virginia. He said, I'll call him. You talk to him. He knew. When I talked to Greyhound bus station, they said, yes, sir. This is in Duluth, Minnesota. She said, be here at 9 o'clock. Bring your driver's license and passport. That eliminate that. This is all gone now. So I'm thinking I'll have to live in this country up here. And it's cold up there. Woo. Anyhow, I was laying in bed. We had a kitchenette up there. It was nice. That was in August and September. And that night, as I was laying in that bed, I was feeling bad. I was homesick, I think. Anyhow, I was thinking of Jim Pritt's verse of scripture. He always names it. I remember what he says. What's that you say, Jim? All things? What? To them that love God. I thought, well, I must not love him. I can't love God. That's not the... All things. My wallet was gone. Everything I had was gone. And how is all things going to work together for good? So I began to cry out to God, to pray to God. And it just happened that downstairs on a Wednesday, we were having our Bible study in Thessalonians, chapter 5, 17. And you know what that says? In everything give thanks. Everything. You see, we tried to separate everything from the all things. And they everything. So I said, Lord, thank you. I lost my wallet. I'm not going to get back home. I'm going to get here somehow. But you cannot separate the all things that you give thanks for and the all things that's working together back here. They go together. To them that love God. Sometimes I wonder if I loved him enough. because I lost my wallet. But hey, I got them all back. And more than that, remember what I told you, Annie? The worst thing you have to do in West Virginia is get your driver's license. That is the hardest thing in the world to do that. I mean, they got three lines. And you get in that line, and you're in the wrong one. And you get this, and you need to be in that one. And I know I've been there before this. And I walked in that morning on Monday. I got back on Saturday. And I seen two little girls sitting there. One of them looked like Rebecca here. And they were just sitting at the desk. They weren't doing nothing over here. And I walked in. That one looked at me, and she grinned a little bit. I thought, what's she grinning me for? I said, honey, I know you're going to be here. I knew you was going to be here today. She said, and how did you know that? I said, before I left this morning, I cried out to God to give me somebody to help me. I said, you're the one he put here. She looked at me and said, what do you need? I said, driver's license. She said, fill this out. 15 minutes later, I was gone. And when I left, there was another girl sitting with her. She told that girl, said, that guy talks to God. He talks to God. It was surprising, but it is. When you tell people, God put them to help you. And he does. He puts people in your life to help you. He put you in our life. He put the other group of people in our life to help each other here. God's providence brought us together. It's a series of steps that leads to a change of action. The question I would ask, why are we here? Why are you here? It's to glorify God, to enjoy him forever. That's why you're here. But it was a long walk home. You see, the first 44 years, I was doing what Job said, walking the old path. Do you know what the old path was? Have you ever walked in? I know you did. I seen you there. We all walked the old path. It was a trail that was worn down. Our parents walked it before we did. Adam walked it a long time ago. But we walked the old path that wicked men had followed. And we find that trail easy to walk. God's degree will lead to his providence that leads to his promises. Isn't it amazing how many books you can find on the promises of God? Don't try to claim his promises without his providence. It's only through his degree and his providence you can claim his promises. They don't come without going through his degree. They come a hard way. It's not an easy road to travel. But don't follow the old path. The old path began in the Garden of Eden when they disobeyed God. They took off on their own way. They followed that path. And guess what? My daddy followed that path. My grandparents followed that path. And you did too. We followed that old path. But the people followed the old path, they messed up. They came in the wrong gate. The wrong gate. They came in the wrong way. In fact, Matthew said, how many gates, he said, were was? There's a narrow gate and there's a wide gate. You see, the wide gate is the evil path that wicked men had followed. They come into wide gate. It's easier to come through a wide gate than to go through a narrow gate. You got to leave your baggage behind when you go through the narrow gate. But they come through the wrong gate. It said there was two gates, the broad way and the narrow way, and it was straight. It's a straight road. That was not the only thing that was wrong in Matthew 13. When you're reading the Bible, when it says two things, think about the two things he's writing them, or three things, whatever it is. But if there's a number of them, you can think of it better. There was two gates. And there were two houses there, too. You remember the story? The houses looked the same. The Lord said one of them was built on the sand. What's your religion built on? Is it the sand or is it the rock? One of them will fall. When the storm comes, it's going to fall. It better be built on the rock. On the rock of ages, too. And you know, we sang that song a couple weeks ago here, and I had something dawned on my mind when we were singing that song. Rock of ages. Standing on the solid rock. I don't stand on that rock. I realized that a month ago when Dane was up here preaching, I think he was. You remember what Jesus said in Matthew 18? Upon this rock I'll build my church. I'm in the rock. I'm not on that rock. I'm in that rock. I'm in Christ. And he's in me. So I don't stand on the rock anymore. I'm standing in the rock. The rock of ages. Anyhow, two gates. Two trees. One tree has good fruit, and the other is a briar tree, thorns and thistles. Which tree are we? I'll tell you what tree you are if you're a Christian by the grace of God. You're a tree of righteousness planted by the Lord that he might be glorified. That's what you are. You were a corrupted tree, having no hope without God in the world. But now, in Jesus Christ, you're a tree of righteousness, planted by the Lord that he might be glorified. Okay. I'm going back to work out your plan. To plan out your work. To work out your plan. Do you know who drew up the plan? God drew them up. Do you know who worked out the plan? Christ worked it out. He said, I come to do the work of my Father. Don't you know I'm about my Father's business? Did he finish the work? If he didn't, he lied on the cross. He said, it's done. You see, He was not the architect. You see, if you're going to build a big house, Jimmy, you need a contractor, right? But before you start building a house, what do you need? Plans. Architect! You need the plan. That was what God did. He planned the house he was going to build. That's why you're here today. He put you in this house. His house. He planned the work. And then, no less than his son Jesus Christ worked out his Father's plan. He got his instruction from the architect, and he worked out his plans. Now you look at me and you say, well, maybe that's right. No, it's right. I can prove it's right. But wait a minute. Not only do you need an architect and a contractor, you need something else. You need material to build a house. Guess where God got his material at? I'm looking at him. Right here. You're the material God used to build that house. The Holy Spirit drew you with love kindness. And you're the ones God put in his house here. When they built the temple in the old covenant, Solomon, think about this. He had ships, and he sent them down to get stones to build the temple with. And they were called ready-made stones. That's amazing. They're ready-made. Guess what? When God put you here, you was a ready-made stone. You're not made complete yet. He'll still chisel you a little bit and cut you down. But they were ready-made stones. And the good thing about it, they weren't dead stones. They were lively stones. Built up on the foundation of Jesus Christ. They were stones that will last in eternity. So why are you here? Because God has brought you here. Providence is foreseen faith. It's controlled strictly by God. He is in total control of providence. The hope is based upon nothing less than Jesus Christ and his righteousness. It's not in you. You have nothing to offer to God. If you think you've got something to offer, bring it to my house. Monday's the garbage day out there. We'll put it in the garbage can. Because it's trash. I guarantee you. Even our best, the best prayer we can send up before it goes in the gates of glory, it has to be filtered out. Because it's sent there with pride. The best prayers we can send up is by pride. Anyhow, you're here because God drew you here. God took you, Fayette County. He took you from the valley of dry bones. I told my old buddy John Rissinger, 84, I said, there ain't nothing life in Fayette County. It's dead. He said, Ed, you don't know nothing. He gave an address to meet here. But the dry bones, if you remember in Ezekiel, don't turn, it's in the book of Ezekiel. It said the Lord stopped by and he seen Ezekiel. And he asked him a question. It's not very often God asks us a question, does he? He asked Ezekiel a question. And he said, Ezekiel, can these bones live? You know what? He was the wise man I ever seen because of what he said. Ezekiel, can these bones live? They're dead. He looked at God and he said, Lord, you know. You know whether they can live. I don't know. And I don't know if you're alive or not, but God knows. And he can wake you up the dead and cause them to move. And he did that in Ezekiel. If you read that book and study it, in verse, it's in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 37, and go down to verse 10. And you know what happened? I'm going to tell you exactly what happened. It happened to you. God breathed on you. God breathed on you. That is what's called the breath of life. He breathed life into us. He breathed on me. I was dead in trespasses and sin, alienated from God because of my ignorance. God breathed on the bones. And you know what them bones did? They ain't knows what they did. They come together. They come together. That's why you're here. You come together. Thank God for you people. We come together. But that was no strange thing to God. He had planned that we would come together, brother. And I hope be to God that we will stay together and continue to glorify our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Thank you guys so much. I love every one of you, especially my school teacher over here. I ain't telling you who she is. You'll be asking her. I ain't telling your age, neither. She's not older than me. That's an insult to my Annie. I'm talking about Annie. She helps me so much. By the grace of God, she does. But all you do, him, Dennis, back there, I can tell you every message Dennis preached 20 years ago because I took his notes. People said, where'd you get your wisdom? I got one of you fellows here. Somebody. But if a man lacks wisdom, let him ask to God. He give it to all men. As master in faith. So, again, I say, why are you here? I don't know why you're here, but I am so glad you're here. Come back again. I see people come once in a while, and I'm not sure. But I tell them, boy, I'm sure glad you're here. You're here because God brought you here. And you may be one of them group I talk in the church, out of eight of them. I said, before you guys leave, don't forget, one of you is here because God brought you here. But I still got a few minutes yet. I'm going to take a minute here. We were in jail one time, and Ramey had mentioned to a group, or I did, how important it is, and Mark mentioned that a while ago, is studying the Scripture, social scripture, always stay in the Scripture. I told the group down there one time, I said, you know, I went through the Bible 29 times. I was boasting. I was. But you know, the best sermon I ever heard in my life was from a black man who was not even a Christian. I heard a sermon from him. And you know what he told me? He said, Ed, how many times? I said, 29 times. He said, how much of it went through you? How much goes through you? You see, it's not going through the Word that helps you out. It's when the Word goes to you. It makes a difference to you. Thank you, and let's pray here. Lord, our great God and Father, we thank you for this time together. We thank you for each and every one, and even those who are not here, Lord. We thank you for the ones you have passed by here, that they have had an opportunity to hear the gospel. Lord, they can only hear if you give them ears to hear and eyes to see. Lord, they won't hear when I tell them, because I've often told them for 20-some years. They don't hear me, but Lord, they'll hear you. Oh, God, speak, and we'll listen to what you have to say. In Christ's precious name we pray. Amen. Thank you guys so much. Next year, this time.